Blog Talk Radio.
On the Shelly Nunchuck Show, and I will be having my guest call in momentarily. I'm trying to prevent a cat from jumping on the equipment. If it's not one cat, it's another. They just have a habit to jump up on equipment and stuff, and of course this cat's name is Jackie Chan. But anyway, tonight I'm so pumped up. I actually have a boxer that's going to be a guest on my show. I'm so super pumped. And like I said, I'm trying to prevent a cat from jumping up on the equipment here. They always want to do that when you're in the middle of it. You know, animals want attention. You know, they're like kids. But anyway, my announcement, what I've been trying to do is actually raise money for the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame. And about the museum, hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of motion pictures and television, featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies, including Yakima Kunit, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Rendell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints, as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity beaching parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos of paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hunters' items from the movie and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home. It needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. His email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, J-O-H-N-H-A-G-N-E-R @gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in Following the Stars, then Artist of the Stars, then Stunt Stars and Legends. So if you want to check that out, I also post it on my Facebook page. I think it's a really worthy cause because it's not just for all the memorabilia for the past 65 years, which is the co-founder, John G. Hagner, who I actually had on my show. He's been collecting, and now it's in storage. So it's not just for the past stunt community. It's also for the present and from the future. So that's something that I've been trying to raise money for, and I'm just trying to look on here. And if my guest is listening, you can give me a call in at 347-989-1473. So what I'm going to do after, since I read this announcement, what I want to do is actually play a song, and I'm going to be right back with, let's see, what am I going to play here? Well, since he is the fighter, I'm going to play the song The Fighter by Cardiac and Sacrifice, and I shall be right back.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Facing this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain honor, bomb my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
You knew I couldn't stay away. It's in my blood. This is what I'm good at. This is what I'm meant to do. Check it.
Back in the lab again, back on the road. Crack spit on tracks when I rap, shit is so. Oh, they gonna love it, but they bugging when I speak. So run and tell your cousins, get your budgets when I leak. Back to the pen, pen, paper to the pad. Tracks so authentic, if the haters getting mad. Back to the music like a user need a pad. Never could kick the habit, I'm an addict for the lab. Words turn to verbs, verbs burst through the mics. Mics like when I write, cause I like when I write. Back to the rhythm, living, can I get a rhyme? Plus a line, it'll kill them every time I spit, I shine. Back to the booth, goosebumps, give me chills. I'm the truth from the loops, oops, scoops with the skills. Soundproof on the wall, gives me the beat of mind. Like it's me and my rhymes, ain't nothing but some time. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop. It's the essence of my soul, the reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back in the studio, back on the grind. I'm living every minute, trying to nurse another line. Does this rhyme with that? No, it doesn't give a scratch. Add this instead of that, now you got another track. Back in the backstage, waiting to perform. Working on the words, words waiting to be born. Warm from the storm of fans, waiting for your turn. Freeing in my head, that's the crying for the storm. Back in the battle, raps, tracks like my scars. And my raps like the battle axe, rap for the stars. Every word is ammunition, and I'm spitting, hitting hard. Written, kicking, vicious systems, sticking. Rippers pick apart. Sacrifice is my ambition and my reason on this earth. Grab a mic, it's my religion, and the beat is my church. Verses are my sermons and my service is a prayer. And my prayers are getting answered every day that I'm here. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back for the fans, fam, damn, I never leave. Back for the late nights, right until I sleep. Back for the line that I never got to write, because I didn't have a pen when it came into my sight. Back for the pen, back for the pad, and I'm back for every opportunity I never had. Back for the gift that I will never waste, or mistakes that I take to the grave when I break. Back for the squad, back for the fam. Back for cardiac, tragic in the camp. Back for Stitcher Magic, wisdom in the fam. And every fan that believed in me, I never gave a chance. Back for the love, for the craft that I hold. For the fire that's within and the ice that is cold. Back for my boys, and I'm back for their life. And I'm back for a promise that I made to my wife. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all.
Alrighty, I'm back. That was Sacrifice with Back for You All. And I'm bringing it up once again while I'm waiting for my guests to call in. I'm bringing up the announcement that I'll, because I am I was welcomed on board by the co-founder, well, not the founder himself, John G. Hagner, to come on board as a board advisor for the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. And about the museum, hundreds of exhibits. Yes, I'm reading again, but it's something that I'd like to do. Yeah, I sometimes read announcements before my guests come on. About the museum, hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of motion pictures and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies including Yakima Canutt, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Mundell, and hundreds of others. There were over 350 concrete blocks that contained the footprints and handprints as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and to preserve for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from movies and television, plus video, films, and film clips. Their Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Excuse me, just sneezed here. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. Email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, johnhagner@gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in Falling for Stars, then on Us Up Stars, then Stunt Stars and Legends. And I really truly believe it is something, you know, to help preserve the history of the stunt community. And like I said, John has collected for the past 65 years so many things, and you can actually go to the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame on the website, and you can check it out what it's more about. So it actually does have a website. So that you can definitely check out. And what, like I said, tonight I'm actually protecting my equipment from a kitty cat. Because, you know, she's a bigger kitty and she just wants to jump on the equipment. But if you have any pets, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, whatever you have, if you have a dog or a cat, they want attention. And anytime if they're reading the newspaper or working on your laptop, they want your attention. They're like little kids, little fur kids. Well, oh gosh, I'm like, here goes some allergies right now. I just took an allergy pill, so I hope I'm not sneezing on my guest when he does call in. So for my guest, if you do hear this, I did try to post the link on your page. I tagged you on it. Guest call in number is 347-989-1473. So I'm going to go into playing some more music, and this is Feel by Laz and Cat by Triceptive Studios, and I'll be back.
Yeah, Laz Ritz, Caterpie, Miss Smith and NZ, for little 9 yards, yeah, check this out. Yeah, Triceptus Studios. Check it, yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by, looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wise. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant all on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me, sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
I like the way you always touching on me. I like the way you put chills on my body. I like the way you always on my mind. I like the way how you do it every time. You just make me feel real.
That's a prime time player. Used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the lined up hair. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one. One. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. Let's do this now, don't waste no time.
Ha, 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 ha,
Alrighty, and I'm back. That was Phil with Laz and Kat with my Triceptive Studio family back in Boston, and I'm so proud of my little brother, Crosby Tatum. Yep, his surprise, surprise film. You can get it on DVD. I think it's sold out at Walmart. He's doing quite well, so I'm very proud of him. Many things going on. Well, anyway, just to let people know with my equipment, if anyone's trying to text me or call me in, remember, I only have this one phone for now. In the future, as things get, you know, rolling on even more, hopefully I'll even have extra equipment. But for now, just remember, I'm on Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Standard Eastern Time. I will not be able to answer my phone, so you can write to me on Facebook. But I do think I do see a caller in queue. Give me one moment. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Donnie. How you doing, Shelley?
Oh, hi, Donnie. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you been?
Oh, just good. Thank you for being a guest on my show.
Yep, I am a guest on your show. Not just to call it.
Well, thank you. I'm wicked pumped. I'm so super pumped tonight. Can you tell?
Yeah, I can tell. Thank you. I am too. I'm trying not to laugh, you know, but it's okay.
I get so super pumped because I'm an action girl, and it's like I have this saying where it's like growing up I never really wanted to be Barbie. I've always wanted to be a ninja, you know, and it's just like I like that stuff, you know.
Yeah, I always wanted to be a Ninja Turtle, you know.
Yeah, I which did. One?
Michelangelo. Who else?
Yeah.
You know, he's the coolest, you know. And he's the
most. You gotta be careful. You do. You mm-hmm. have to be careful because if you ever hit yourself in the head with real nunchucks and not practice nunchucks,
I try.
They hurt.
Trust me. I used to whack myself in the back all the time. I'm like, oh, my God. I used to hate nunchucks. Oh, I've got to get a new weapon. Donatello became my favorite little turtle after that because I couldn't hit myself in the back with a stick, you know. I just dropped it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you actually can be a weapon. You know, I'd say, like, people, it's like, well, I need a gun of this. And I'm like, well, people can train, and they can be a weapon themselves.
Exactly.
So how are you doing tonight?
Great. I got out of practice pretty late, and I called you pretty late. And sorry about that.
That's okay. No, I did my announcement. I did a couple announcements, and I wasn't too sure. I tried tagging you when I posted the link on my page because your page is not – it's a page. It's not a person where you can't add as friends, so it doesn't allow me to post the link. So I tagged your name in it, so hopefully people
yeah.
can find it. But just in case, my show is archived so people can listen to it afterwards too.
Awesome.
So in case your friends and family want to hear it. So before getting into boxing, all the boxing details and everything, can you tell our listeners, you know, like where you grew up and, you know, how was it like for you growing up?
I grew up in Roxbury, Roxbury, Mass., Roxbury in Boston, Massachusetts. So I grew up, nowadays Roxbury is not like how Roxbury used to be, you know. I mean, gentrification at its finest. If you look at Roxbury 10, 15, 20 years ago, and you look at Roxbury now, it's not the same Roxbury, you know. You got, like, white college students taking a bus, you know, like, in Dudley Station. That never happened 10 years ago, you know. Nobody went to Dudley Station.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't black, you know, Hispanic. But so now it's different, you know. It's more, it's being gentrified. You know, it's being mixed. There's more charter schools. You know, it's different now. I mean, Roxbury, people told their kids, hey, man, don't go to Roxbury. Don't drive through there. You know, I played a lot of basketball in Roxbury. I mean, that's what Roxbury is known for. It's known for its basketball. So that's really all I did. I just grew up in Roxbury and played ball my whole life, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you always wanted to be a boxer? I mean, when you were growing up, what did you really wanted to do?
I wanted to be an astronaut. Come on now. Who didn't want to go to the moon, you know? I wanted to work for NASA when I was a kid. Are you serious? Come on. I was a kid, you know? I wanted to freaking go to the moon, and that's what I wanted to do. But, when I figured out I was going to be too big to fit in a rocket ship, you know, to get sent to the moon, I was like, screw it, dude. You know, what I'm going to do is be a cardiologist. you know? Huh. There you go. I was like, hey, that's a good professor for me. Cardiologist, you know, they're not going to tell me my hand is too big for a scalpel, you know? So that's what I wanted to do. But then when I realized that I couldn't play Division I basketball and go to med school to take pre-med courses, that wasn't realistic. I said, you know, I got to do something where I can, like, you know, get this degree and just play ball and make shit easy for me. Excuse my language. Make life easy for me. So I got my degree in criminal justice. You know what? I can get a degree in criminal justice and go to law school after or do whatever I want with it after. You know, criminal justice, you know, wouldn't interfere with practice or anything. So that's what I got my degree in, criminal justice.
Wow. So how did you come about? Because now I heard that you are actually, you know, a kindergarten teacher to help out children with, you know, special needs. So how did you get involved in becoming a teacher?
Honestly, how I got involved, I was dating this cougar, right? Back in the day, I was like 22, 21 years old. I was dating this cougar. She was hot. She was like, I don't know, 36. 36 at the time. And I met her at this lesbian club, honestly. And she was a school teacher. And I ended up, like, getting with her for, like, you know, she ended up being my girl, you know, for, like, years. And she was a school teacher. And I saw what she did, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, I just took I just took to it, you know. I took to it, you know, and it rubbed off on me. You know how she, like, worked with the kids that I grew up with, you know, in the inner city that were autistic and had special needs. So my mom is a nurse, and she worked with kids with special needs and, you know, autism and Down syndrome also. My mom was an ABA therapist and a nurse. So, you know. They've always, Down syndrome has always been in my life, and autism's always been in my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met the girl, I just was like, whoa, this is easy money, you know. I mean, I love people. I love kids, you know. This is how I can make some money and focus on my career. And I'm a school teacher to support my career. I figured this would be a way for me to support my career, you know, and do something that I don't mind doing every day because I love it, you know, and I love boxing. So those are my two passions, which is like kids with special needs and boxing, really, you know.
Yeah, so it's something.
All day.
That's something that's awesome because I touch base with people talking about, you know, when people go to jobs and they hate their job just to make money. And I really think they're, like, committing, like, you know, I kind of call it, like, social suicide or something where, you know, people get sick from going to the job that they hate because it festers inside. And how can you deal with that your whole life? Do you know what I'm saying? You're doing something where you're following your passion, and then you have a job that you, like, go into where you're making money. You know, you don't have to say how much you make or anything. It's just that you're actually getting a steady paycheck, and it's something that you really
like. But you don't
like
it, but you dislike the job? But you dislike the job? Is that what you're saying? You're doing something something to support what you love, but you dislike what you do to support what you love.
Yeah.
You know what I call
that? And a lot of people
You want to know what I call that?
What?
I call that life. That's life. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm that I'm able to do what I do. Not everybody's able to do that, you know. But if you're still able to have a job, in these times, have a job, make some money, even if you like it or not, like the people you work with or not, and it be able to support you and do what you love, man, that's an awesome job, man. You're living the life right now. You know, you're living the life. Like, who cares if you don't like the job? Like, you got the job. You got income coming towards you. I call that maturity, when you understand that, right now, but, you know, I'm working towards what I want to do, and I'm getting paid right now, you know? I mean, I call that maturity.
I think that's what a lot of artists do when they're following their passion, and then, you know, it's something where I think people could come to some sort of point where they get paid for somewhat of what they're loving doing, you know what I'm saying? It's because I really think that people are more happy if they love what they're doing. If they're not, I think, well, the point I'm making is if someone has a job, they're not making a lot of money, but they're enjoying it, I think that's more, it's better. Do you know what I'm saying? It's because you can make all the money in the world, but if you hate it, it's kind of, you know, you're standing just for the money. I mean, I can never understand that doing a job.
You can only do one thing. Well, I thought we were working a job. I thought you were saying we're working a job to support what we do, what we love, you know? If we're working a job, if we're trying to do what we love, right? All right, you're a stunt devil, and I'm a boxer, right? So say I had to be a janitor to do what I had. I wasn't teaching, and I'd be a janitor. Mm-hmm. And I had to, like, clean toilets and mop floors, okay, in order to box. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I don't want to be a janitor, that's an awesome job because it allows me to box. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the best janitor in the world.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, if I'm just a janitor now and I'm not doing anything, I'm not doing following my passions or, like, trying to figure something out in my life that I want to do, and I'm just pushing this mop and cleaning the toilet, then that sucks. I'm sorry. You know, then you're lost.
Yeah.
But if you're a janitor and you're making music or you're jumping off out of planes, you're being a stunt devil, like BMX, biking, swimming, playing basketball, doing whatever you're doing to, like, make your dream a reality, hey, do it, man. Work McDonald's. Work a job. If you can get a job at McDonald's and you can paint or box, hey, work that job. That's awesome. That's money right there, you know. Just hold on until you can find a better job. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, that's the point is, like, if you're stuck in one job and you can't stay, like, you know, like, I've worked a lot of customer service jobs, and now I want to have, I'm sneezing live on the air. I'm hoping my allergy pills are going to kick in, but, I'm figuring, you know, you start off at a point, and I've been doing customer service for almost, like, 30 years, and I don't want to do that anymore, so I got smarter and designed, like, you know, online website, and I'm learning how to do things myself. Like, no one teaching me. I'm learning as I go because I don't want to do customer service anymore. If you really think about it, if you're working in customer service in a lot of jobs, you don't really ever get a promotion or you never go up. You're kind of stuck, you know, in the same spot. So I think after a while, any normal person wants to, you know, something better for themselves. You see the point I'm getting at? It's like, unless you're happy, maybe some people are, but I think if you're, you know, everybody wants a better life. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree. Everybody wants a better life.
Yeah, that's basically, you know, what the whole point of it is. And what I was going to say next, the thing that I wanted to ask, so how did you get into boxing?
I got into boxing, picked up boxing in Kansas, you know. I was living out in Kansas. I was going to college out there playing basketball, and I walked into a gym, you know, and I said, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to try this. You know, I can make some money. I'm, like, huge, you know, like. Basketball, I was kind of losing the love for basketball. Well, you never lose the love for basketball. Reality was setting in that, bro, I'm not going to the NBA. I'm 6'10". It's cool. It's all right. I'm not going to the NBA. I can play, like, you know, USBL or ABA overseas somewhere, NBBL. That's not what I want to do, you know. My personality, if I do something, I want to do it in the top class, in the best league, you know. I don't want to be in any B division, any C division. You know, I just say, whatever, you know, okay. I'll take my lumbers. I'll learn from this area, you know, and I'm going to, like, apply it somewhere else. But picked it up in Kansas after basketball, kind of, like, my dreams fell through, you know. And I walked into a gym, and I met Johnny Pappen, this old guy. He's, like, 60 years old. He was, hey, you're big, but you're kind of old to start boxing. Boxers start at, like, they're babies, you know, like 5 years old, 8 years old, like 12 years old, you know, in their teens. And he's like, you know, you have a chance if you commit to everything. He's like, if you commit to it, he's like, if you commit to boxing like you did, like you committed to basketball when you were 8 years old, you can be great, you know, but you got to commit now.
I was like, for real, are you serious? Like, everything in your life, you're going to have to put aside and just commit to it if you want to be a world champion right now, because you started late. And I thought about it, and I was like, you know what, I'm 6'10", I'm like 21 years old, like, I'm a good-looking kid, I'm very smart, you know, I'm a people's person, let me give it a try, you know, and I sacrificed pretty much everything in my life for boxing. Yeah, I'm not going to go into everything with you, but boxing's going to...
No, that's okay, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, boxing's been a sacrifice, and I picked it up in Kansas, stuck with it since, you know. I've been doing it since, like, 22 years old, 21, 22. Started when I was 21.
So did people think you were crazy, that you were getting into later? I mean, how did people...
Yes, people thought I was crazy. I had no hope. You ain't going to be good. Like, you can't do nothing. It takes, like... 8 years to make an Olympic trials, and the guys who make the Olympic trials in boxing since they're like 8, you know. So, I had a lot of like naysayers and friggin', you know, doubters. But it was okay. It's cool, you know. I fucking gunned them down. Excuse me. You know, I gunned them down. I did it. I went to the Army. The Army asked me to box when I was winning. You know, I was doing my thing. I was winning. The Army saw me and said, hey, would you like to box first? Man, you have potential. I was like, seriously? You think the Army was the only people that thought I had potential to be great or anything. Honestly, like, all my friends, like, you know, they had doubts. You know, people that in the boxing world had doubts because I was so old getting into it. But the Army, the coach of the Army, He saw something. He was like, yo, this kid, all right, like, you know, like, would you like to join our team? I was like, what do I have to do? Do I have to, like, go to boot camp? He's like, yep, you got to suit up and boot up, young man. So, are you serious? I was like, are you serious, bro? Like, I heard the freaking guys who drive the NASCAR, the Army NASCAR, they didn't have to go to boot camp. He's like, listen, that's a totally different realm here, you know, like. One doesn't have to do anything with the other. You know, apples and oranges. He's like, one's a sponsored driver, and you'd be a Army athlete. I was like, okay, I got it. And so, yeah, I went to the Army. And I was in the Army for 4 years. And all I did was box. I was on a world-class athletes program.
Wow. And that ends... Really? So, like, where did you go to, like for boxing when you were in the service?
So, oh, man, they took the team everywhere. They took the team to, like, Azerbaijan. They took the team to Brazil. Like, the year before, they took the team to South Africa. They took the team all over the world, like, you know, China, Russia, Germany, like, wherever. Like, wherever the top boxers are in the world, the Army's going to go fight them. Like, our team is going to go fight them because the Army is the best team, the most prestigious team in the world, you know, boxing team, amateur boxing team in the world, you know. We produce the most gold medals ever for the Olympics. And so we'd fight everywhere. It didn't matter. India, he didn't care. We'd go to India 1 week, he'd be in France the next day. He didn't care. Wherever
wow.
It was, like, a good team or, like, good boxing, like, coach would take us and have us go fight, compete.
Wow. What was one of the favorite places you went out of, like, the United States that you actually, like, really liked?
Not for boxing, though. One of the best places, my favorite place that I've been to that I really like is England, when I lived in Henley. I used to row, you know, that was my first sport, my first love. I rode in the Henley Royal Regatta, you know, which is the most prestigious race in the world. Living in London was amazing to me. I was like 15, 16 years old living in England. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know, like people are like 19, 20 when they go to their abroad studies in England, you know. I'm like... And I'm rowing in, like, the most elite race in the world at the time.
and it's just like dessert.
So it's kind of like you've always kind of worked out your whole life.
I was always an athlete. I mean, I was 6'10". I lived, okay, like you said, stemming from where I come from. I come from Roxbury. I didn't want to stay in Roxbury. You know, I knew I was 6'10", and I had an advantage. I was like, okay, I stay in Roxbury and friggin' have cap gunfights with these kids that eventually turn into real gunfights, you know, later on. Or I use this height and this athleticism, this gift that God gave me, and try to get on a travel team and leave the city for the weekend, you know, go somewhere for a week, go somewhere for 2 weeks, you know, go to a basketball camp. You know, I try to always, like, use my height and my athleticism to leave the city to get out of, you know, Boston, get out of the neighborhood. So I was always an athlete, like being an athlete, playing a ball, rowing a boat, playing, throwing a football, boxing, running track, throwing a shot put, whatever it took, whatever sport that I felt I could do at the time to leave the state, the neighborhood, I would go play it. If they needed an extra, I would go be the extra. If they needed the guy on the bench, yeah, I'm going to sit the bench, I'm leaving the neighborhood, I'm gone. You know, I was with it, you know. So, yeah, sports was like a big part of my life.
Oh, so I guess it kept you out of trouble then, right?
No, I wouldn't say all that. You know, you always find a way to, young boys always find a way to get mischief, you know.
Well, yeah.
It kept me out of some serious trouble, like, for the most part, you know. You know, it kept me honest.
So what is your coach's name?
My coach? I have Gilbert Pierce and James Bashir. Gilbert Pierce was with me when I first started boxing, moved back to Boston. When I left Kansas, moved back to Boston, I had met Gilbert Pierce, you know, and I lived with him for a little bit. You know, we worked out, we trained. You know, he told me what it was going to take to make it to the Olympics. He's the first guy that told me what it was going to take to make it to the Olympics, you know. And coming from him, a guy who fought Mike Tyson in the amateurs and was on the same U.S. national team as Mike, you know, that meant a lot to me, you know. So I took a liking to this guy. And Killer Pierce, I met him, trained with him. He's one of my head coaches right now in Massachusetts. He's my main coach right now in Massachusetts, in Boston, when I'm in Boston. But then I have my tutor, you know. I have a mentor, like a sensei, you know, like a guru that I listen to, you know, who's a lot older than Gilbert also, who's been around Gilbert also, you know, who's James Ali Bashir, you know, which is, he's a coach of Vladimir Klitschko, who's the current heavyweight champion. You know, he has all the titles damn near, you know. He's been the heavyweight champion for the last 11 years, you know. And he was also the ex-coach of Lennox Lewis. You know, so he's my mentor, and I listen to him a lot. And he'll work some of my corners for, like, most of the big fights, like the television fights and stuff like that, or, like, major prize fights. You know, he'll be in the corner giving me some knowledge. So those are my two, Cooper Pierce and James Ali Bashir. And Rodney Tony also is a coach also. Rodney Tony's more hands-on. He actually gets in the ring and, like, he'll throw his headgear on and spar with me. And, like, get on the mitts with me, you know, show me, like, different movements, you know, that I should be working on. You know, so, yeah, Rodney Tony's a great coach also. He's, like, in there, hands-on with me, you know.
So I should have had some of your coaches or something if they could have called in. I should have had, like, you know, like, if people want to call in, the number is 347-989-1473. Again, the number is 347-989-1473. So if people want to call in, I just usually like to interview people for a little bit and then take calls. So because it's, I think right now it's about 10 o'clock. So I'm seeing how long you're able to talk with. I have about another hour.
That's fine. Whatever you want to do.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I just, you know, because it does go by pretty fast. See, that's like the first hour. It's already gone. See, did I tell you?
Right.
Yeah. So when, you know, are you having a fight coming up?
Yes, next Saturday on 26th.
Oh, okay. Where's the fight going to be?
Saturday. In Boston at Club Royale.
Oh, okay. So how can people get tickets? Is there a website or something if you want to get some information about them to get tickets?
Yeah, they can get tickets off they can follow me on Instagram at Donnie Palmer, DonniePlmr, or Twitter, Donnie_Diesel, DIESEL. And tickets actually can be found on my website, actually at www.donniepalmer.com also. And, tickets can be bought. Just look at find the number on the website, buy them off the website, come to the ring, a boxing club at in Brookline. You can pick tickets up there at the ring. You can pick tickets up in Roxbury at Everything Is Real Barbershop on Dudley Street. Tickets are like, you can pick tickets up at food restaurants. I mean, I have local restaurants that carry tickets for me, like Irie Restaurant, Irie Jamaican Restaurant. I have a great following in the city, so a lot of people support me, and hopefully I can fill up the garden one day, you know. And I appreciate you so much, Shelly, for giving me this opportunity to hop on air with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And speaking of hopping on in, I think there's already a caller, so I'm going to bring the caller on. Give me one moment, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Hello. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Shelly.
Hi.
It's James Leavitt.
Hi, James. How you doing?
Good. How are you? I want to call in. I heard, your conversation with Donnie, and I just want to call in and say it's amazing. You know, Donnie has been incredible. He's been training like crazy at the ring, sparring, doing heavy back work, doing skill and drill. He's doing 1,000 push-ups. I can't believe it. I'm watching this guy do 1,000 push-ups. I've never seen anyone do it like that before. And,
wow.
It's really inspirational, actually, Donnie's story. And I've been with him for the past couple months. Donnie, you've been a real inspiration to me. I just want to let you know, this all this boxing, all this training, your dedication, your drive, your focus, your concentration is really inspiring.
Well, thank you, James. I appreciate that.
And I was at the ring. I actually threw the gloves on. I was like, I want to get into this boxing thing. And I'm watching Donnie. I'm like, do I really want to spar with Donnie Palmer? I don't know.
What happened when you were sparring with him? Anything good? Any battle scars or anything?
Donnie lost my ass. Yeah, no, but Donnie's cool. I actually, I've been learning a lot just watching Donnie work on certain moves, work on his combinations, really just focusing on getting that skill, getting that drive, that thing, everything together, and just, being the best boxer, being the most incredible boxer ever was.
Yeah, so are you ever going to see any of his fights?
Well, you can see a lot of his photos, actually. If you go on the Twitter, if you go on Donnie_Diesel, a lot of the photographs that are on there are mine. On his website, www.donniepalmer.com, I have a lot of my photographs on there. Shots of him from his fight, you can see them on his Facebook galleries, on his Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/ Big Nasty?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Big Nasty.
Yeah.
So, James, yes. If you don't mind me asking, how did you get to work with Donnie, like his pictures and stuff? How did you find out about Donnie?
Well, I have a friend that was in the school where Donnie was teaching. Donnie was teaching one of many schools in Boston, and my friend Rich was teaching there. He said, James, you got to meet this guy, Donnie. He's a boxer. He's one, you know, wants to be champion of the world. I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, you know, you need to take some photographs. You need some photographs. So I went down to the gym, met Donnie. He was really cool. You know, let me take some photographs. And I just kept going back to the gym. Just kept, you know, I knew he was there every day. So we ended up hanging out, and, you know, we became very close. And Donnie and I have been, you know, working together for the past a couple months, doing photographs, making his posters, updating all his images on his Facebook page, on his Twitter, and really, you know, helping him out actually at going to fights. And I was, I'm back, you know, when he was getting ready, just being, you know, part of his crew. I'm really, you know, I feel honored. I'm really grateful to be a part of that. Donnie's, you know, allowed me that opportunity.
Oh,
of course,
a lot,
man. You're awesome, man. You're awesome. Why wouldn't you be part of my crew, man? I'm privileged to have you as part of my crew, bro.
Thank you, Donnie. Yeah, so, you know, he's had fights at the Twin Rivers Casino on the CES. CES has a fight that they promote there, also with Big Six here in Boston over the, what his next fight's going to be, over at the Royale, Club Royale. And, you know, also at the Irish, the Irish Cultural Center in Canton.
In Canton, right? Cultural Center in Canton?
Yep. You know, so the, guy's been fighting all over New England, really. You know, he just wants to take it to the next level. That's a strap.
Unification.
James, are you going to actually be at his fight? Are you going to be able to take some pictures?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was actually doing video, too. So some of the videos you can see up on YouTube, you can get those links up on Don's website, Donnie Palmer's website, www.donniepalmer.com, and see some of him sparring with Jason Estrada in Rhode Island. Also a couple clips from his fight. The last fight was at Royale, which was a knockout, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So you have a Twitter account too?
Yes, I do. It's Donnie_Diesel. And that's Donnie_Diesel, DIESEL.
Because I'll have to check that out afterwards. After I get off the show, I'll have to find you.
I have an awesome Twitter feed.
It's
cool, you know? Wow. Is it? Are you guys still there? It sounded like it just dropped for a second.
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
So what would you like to tell people, James, about Donnie? You know, I know you said he was inspirational.
Yeah, you know, it's just I've seen a lot. I never really was into boxing, and just I got into it, and I actually went on and I got Mike Tyson's book. I read Mike Tyson's book, just came out with called Undisputed, and even being around Donnie, hearing, you know, him talking to the gym, work with his coaches, and getting to know the sport, and it's been really amazing. It's just it's a real challenge in self-dedication, control, skill, and, you know, you have to really overcome your fears. You got to get in the ring. You got to box. And you can get hurt.
Yeah.
So you got to defend yourself too. So it's really, you know, real powerful. Really powerful things, and you know, if you can apply a lot of these skills in other areas of your life, that it's really, you know, it's very profound. mm-hmm. you take something that you really love and you apply the same dedication and, you know, you overcome willpower. You got to work out. You got to, you know what it takes to do 1,000 push-ups? Donnie, what does it take to do 1,000 push-ups?
What does it take to do? I'm just hungry, man. I guess a lot of hunger.
You just got to be hungry. You just got to really go at it and do it.
I just do it. You know, I just do it. I just want it. You know, I just want it. I just want it. I don't know. I think a guy's doing 2,000 push-ups, so
I don't know. I think I'm behind. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's also, you know, skill and training. You've been working your way up, you know, and I've seen you develop so that, you know, you're doing sets of 50, you know, now. You know, you're doing sets of, like, you know, you were doing a set of 100 before. I was
Yeah, just set of 100 today.
Yeah, man. You know, and now it's like, you know, it's just where do you want to take it? How, you know, you can push it. You just keep pushing it.
I know. I should start doing sets of 100. This is my first week doing sets of 100.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I feel a lot of myself, too, because I always kind of had to defend myself, you know, when I was at school. I got the shit kicked out of me bunch of times. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. But, you know, I had to, you know, fight when I was in high school. And, you know, I kind of know what, you know, it really is. It's about your ability, your capability, and your knowledge to be able to defeat the other person skillfully. In boxing, it's really, you know, it's also very tactful because there are rules. You can't just hit someone, you know, in the groin and here, you know, behind the head. You know, you got to do it skillfully and with the gloves on and everything and, you know, in that ring. And, you know, the rules used to be different. Old school boxing used to be crazy different. Like, there was no standing eight count. There used to be people used to, you know, get down. They used to hit them while they were down until they were done. You know, sometimes it was fight, you know, fight until you couldn't stand anymore.
Yep.
That must have been a while ago, right?
Oh, yeah. When boxing first came out in, like, the turn of the century. And even, you know, the gloves were next to nothing, minimal. It was just a piece of leather, you know?
John Sullivan days.
Yeah.
Boston strong boy John Sullivan days. Just wrap your hands in gauze and go at it.
Oh, but I think it's, you know, it's kind of, I guess, boxers, martial artists, and any fighters, it is about honor because, you know, they do count, and it's like when you're in the, you know, fighting in a tournament with martial arts, you know, you don't really beat the crap out of each other. You know, once they're down, you know, it's a very respectful thing. It's kind of hard to explain, and I mean, if either one of you guys would like to explain to people, because they don't really understand. I mean, I understand the whole thing about, you know, about fighters and boxers, because they figure, oh, you're beating the crap out of each other. You get in the ring. What is the point of that? I mean, I guess, Johnny, if you want to explain to people themselves what your view is on that.
Well, boxing is, all right, scratch the word boxing and let's use the word pugilism, the pugilist. Okay, don't use the word boxer, the word pugilist, right? It's a nicer sounding word, right? And it's a more educated word for the term boxer, you know, which is a pugilist. That's what you are. A pugilist is a guy who's a master of striking, you know, 2 points of contact, left fist, right fist, right? And boxing is a gentleman's sport. Boxing's like the little friendly game that we played when we were kids, like tag, you're it. You know, you want to tag the person and not get hit, and not get tagged back. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the finest way to look at boxing, is to be like, tag, you're it. You know, boxing's not a slugger sport. Boxing's not like getting there and just banging the heck out of a guy. You know, I mean, you have fighters that do that, you know, because they had no skill. And they're, I mean, you blame that on their trainers, because there's not a lot of great trainers right now in boxing. There's only a handful of great trainers that really know boxing and train boxing. Everybody doesn't know boxing. Boxing is a way for people to make money. It's very lucrative. So there's a lot of nonsense out there. There's a lot of crap out there in the game right now, you know. But there are still people that are teaching the art of pugilism, you know.
I'm actually a pugilist. You know, I'm a boxer, a pugilist. I feel like I'm a technician, you know. I want to be a guru one day of boxing. You know, I want to be one of the greatest. I want to be a Hall of Famer. So I strive to be, you know, great. Well, boxing, to answer your question, it's a gentleman's sport. It's class. You know, it's not just, oh, bang this guy out
and tell him, no, yeah. Boxers are like, have a death struggle with each other, right? And then pick the guy up, hey, man, I love you, man. Thank you so much, and go have freaking dinner with his family, you know? Or a boxer, like, hurt a guy really bad and put him in the hospital and stay there all night with him just because he's sorry. He doesn't even want to go party. He doesn't care if he knocked the guy out. If he hurt the guy, if I hurt a guy, I'm in the hospital all night. I'm going to have a beer with you in the hospital, bro. Like, you know, that's just how a boxer is. You know, that's how we are. We're not MMA guys who want to break your wrist and break your arm and jump on you, beat the wife out of you. You know, no, man. We're not savages. We're gentlemen. I mean, we're classy guys. We wear suits and ties to the event, to the venue. We don't wear Skechers and T-shirts. You know, we wear suits and ties. You know, we go to the game with, you know, with class. You know, it's a whole different type, not knocking MMA, because MMA is awesome, you know. It's just a whole other, like, it's a whole other culture, you know. It's just a different culture. It's more of a savage culture. You have to be a real tough guy, you know, to be an MMA guy. Like, I feel I'm a tough guy, but it's a different type of toughness, you know. It's like a Army guy and a Marine guy, you know. Like, a Marine guy's going to run through the wall. An Army guy's going to go around the wall, you know. It's just two different mentalities, you know. I mean, that's just it, you know. I mean, I got
a lot of guys that are awesome,
you know, good guys too. But it's just, those guys are berserk, you know. Those guys kick, man. I don't want to deal with any legs. You know, they kick. I'm not messing with an MMA guy. They kick.
Well, you know, Donnie, it is true that since I've been with Donnie, I've noticed that the boxers they're going out with each other. You know, they talk to each other. They're really chill. And even sparring, it's respectful, you know. People are, you know, they understand that, hey, we're sparring. You know, we're trying to kill each other here, but we really understand that we're working on each other's skill. We're trying to build each other's skill, and that after the ring, there's no real beef, you know. And if it's just, you know, between even Donnie with his coach, where he comes in, he's like, you know, hey, you know, they should talk to each other, or, you know, they talk to each other in just a way that, you know, the boxers do.
Yeah,
so
it really just
sounds
like,
you know,
out of Rocky. Like Rocky, you know, like Apollo Creed and Sylvester Stallone, or Rocky, you know, like how they were friends, they came friends afterwards. And,
totally.
Yeah. It's kind of really like that, if you really think about it. It's kind of, art imitates life, and life imitates art. And I think the Rocky films, I don't know, towards the end, I'm not really too sure, but it's kind of like, you know, the first few Rockies, that's exactly how it is, what you're describing it. You know, it's kind of, it's true to life. You know, art imitates life imitates art. So that's true. I think about Rocky 50 million times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, and Donnie and I have watched a bunch of boxing films. We watched a bunch of kung fu films together. You know, we were watching Rocky, and it was so interesting the way that, you know, he developed his skill, and he just kept at it, and through all of the trouble, you know, and there's a lot of politics as well in boxing, and working your way through all the politics where, you know, it used to be run completely by the mob. And there were smokeouts where, you know, the rings were so smoky from people smoking, you know, so many cigarettes and cigars and whatever, you couldn't see 2 feet in front of you.
Oh, wow.
And the boxes were, yeah, the boxes would be like gambling and bookies and oh, my God, it was crazy. But, you know, getting a title is really something else. And it's not like you understand. It's not like you think, you know, you see on TV, well, the best man wins. It really is. You can be the best man, but if you can't navigate through the world of boxing, getting to be a contender, getting into those fights that are going to get you the championship, you know, it's not going to work. And there's a lot of good fighters out there, I'm sure. But and also, you got to have camp money. You got to be able to train. You got to have someone to help support you. I think the Donnie's been incredible with being able to work at it with such drive and passion that people really dove in to support him, like his coach LJ and Craig and his all of the supporters, even when he was playing ball over at Harvard. You know, people are really out to support Donnie because they see that he is a champion.
And speaking of that, what are the I had posted, you know, your fights and stuff. What, can you tell me about the fights? Like how many, you know, the past fights you've had?
I've had 6 fights. I should be 6-0, but you know, it's okay. I have 1 draw. I have 5 knockouts and 1 draw.
So 1 draw, that means it's a tie, right?
If you want to say that. I mean, one day that footage is going to come up again, you know, when I'm, like, in the Hall of Fame. They're going to go, hey, how did you get that draw? Like, we want to see that draw. We want to see that fight. It's going to come up, you know. Someone has it. And you're going to see it was no draw. It's just the game of boxing, like James was saying, you know. Like, you need protection in this game. It's ran by the mob. You need protection, you know. Like, yeah, you do. Am I lying, James? James?
Hello? Well, you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, he was saying that, you know, you'd have, like, protection in the mob, like in boxing. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that? That was the last thing he said?
No, I didn't. It was fading out a little bit.
You need protection in boxing and to get those close decisions, those close, you know, you need protection.
Oh, yeah.
You need to be on that promoter's card. You need to be, you know, you have to, like, position yourself in certain areas in certain ways so you can get those decisions, those close decisions, you know. And boxing is controversial, you know, and it's boxing, though. It's life. We all know it. That's why we love it, you know. You want a piece of the controversy, you know. Well,
so when you get to the ring, right? So I mean, like when you're get there, is it something where you flick a switch? You know, because you have to totally be different in the ring than you are in real person. Is it like I guess maybe that's the easy way to explain it? It's not like you're a totally different person, but you have to have this different. I don't know the correct word for, like, almost not a persona, but you know what I'm saying. It's like once you're there, you totally have to get in the fighter mode.
Yeah, that's the only when I get to the ring. I mean, I get nervous. I don't get nervous. I'm not afraid to, like, fight. I guess I get nervous to perform well. You know, I get nervous anxiety because I know I want everything to be clicking the way it was in the gym the night before. You know how shakeout, how everything was clicking and popping. Like, yeah, bah, 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 bah. You know, everything was popping the night before. You know. When you get to the fight, I'm just hoping that everything is still the same way. You know, so I'm just hoping that I can be able to perform well, you know. I'm not afraid at all, you know. I'm just hoping that I'm able to perform well. Sometimes, I mean, you get afraid of being knocked out. You don't want to get knocked out. I'm fighting. Like, I don't want to get knocked out. Like, so I got to, like, be at my best, you know. I got to come out hard, you know. I don't want to get knocked out.
I don't think anybody wants to be knocked out. I totally agree with you on that. I get what you're saying. So have you, I was looking on your page, And I think you had something where it showed something like the VFW with some guys. I mean, it was some sort of event or something. Was it for Memorial Day? I wasn't too sure what that was about.
That was, yeah, I went out to Memorial Day to go support the parade. You know, I walk in, I'm a part of, I'm a member of the VFW here at St. Mark's Post in Dorchester.
You know, so come by St. Mark's Post, you know, have a drink, play some pool, play some cards, you know, come support, you know, your local VFW anywhere. Just not my post, but support your local VFW anywhere, you know, any city. It's awesome, you know. Whenever you want to just leave the house and go out, you know, just meet some cool people in your neighborhood, some cool vets, you know, just hear some cool war stories, hey, go to the VFW, man. You know, support it.
Oh, so this is really history. I have, you know, a person who served our country. You're also a boxer. So it's like I'm really preserving history on my show. This is really great.
Oh, if you, thank you. I mean, I'm not, hopefully I'm not that old yet, but hopefully.
No, I'm very thankful because this is another thing that I'm trying to do, and I never knew it would go this way, is also anybody that's, you know, that's doing something with their lives, or I've had, like, grandmasters in martial arts on my show, and it's, what I'm doing is people that I, you know, that are here, I like to talk about them because, you know, people that are like, you know, Bruce Lee or Brandon Lee, I'll never be able to get them on my show. And, like, other people, I see that they pass, and I was like, oh, man, I wish I had that person for my show, but it's here, you know, you're able to talk to me, you're on the show, and I can capture that and preserve it for history. So it's something that, you know, in the future, all my shows, you know, for the up-and-coming people, the younger people, they can hear it. So we're actually making history right now.
Yeah, thank you. You know, my dream about people talking about me is being great, a great fighter as Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes, you know, Lennox Lewis, you know, Tyson. I dream about that, you know, like being spoken amongst those great names. So thank you again, you know. I mean, that's really my goal and my dream is to, like, be one of the greatest ever. I'm almost 7 foot. Like, how can I not be one of the greatest ever if I just put my mind and my heart to it, you know? So
yeah.
Keep a lookout.
I think, you know, you'll be great in your own way no matter what, because I'm looking in your pictures, and when you're smiling, you have this, you know, this energy. I'm looking at it something right now. I got your on Facebook. I have that pulled up, but it says Big City 103, and there's, like, there's one that's close up of a mic, and you're smiling, and you really shine. So it's kind of funny because here you are. You can see in your pictures you're really a big guy. Now, when you don't smile, it's like, oh, you scare me. it's like, oh, my gosh. But then it's like you're a totally different person when you smile. So it's something that it's like maybe you do have that boxing face all the time when you don't smile, you know. Then it just drops when you're smiling. What was that? It says Big City 103. What is that on your Facebook page? On there.
Big City 101.3 is the local radio station here in Massachusetts in Boston that gives me a lot of love. You know, they support me a lot. You know, they give me interviews and stuff like that. They help me promote my flights. You know, they show me a lot of love. So big shout outs and big love to 101.3 Big City FM.
Oh, cool! I'm going through your whole thing, and it was like I'm showing another on your albums on your Facebook page, and this one that I'm going through is Irish Cultural Central Boxing. I think that's in Canton. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes,
okay. Is that something?
Correct.
Okay. Is it something? Did you see a boxing match there, or is it something you're part of?
Yeah, that's why I knocked the guy out there. I had a fight there.
Oh, okay. Because I see you just in regular clothes, and they're showing. I was trying to. I'm looking on here, and it's like maybe it just popped up underneath something else. I was trying to figure how this fit in here, where it says Irish Cultural Center Boxing, and going down to the picture, like pulling it up, it looks like there's a Native American that's dressed up. Is that from that same place? Oh, that's Mixture Magazine. Okay, what was that?
That was a fight, actually, that Diana attended
what I actually took photos. He had he came out one night to the cultural center to help support boxers from the Rochester Boxing Club. So it was a match that we had attended.
Oh, okay. Because I was trying to figure out all these pitches, like I seen underneath. I'm seeing him with a bunch of kids, and it looks like they're all attacking him, not in a bad way.
That is great. I mean, wherever we go, people are like astounded, because not only is he's a huge guy, but he's got a heart of gold and a great personality, and he's really great with kids. They love him. And they were teasing him, coming up to him, trying to fight him.
Yeah, they're climbing all over him. So it's like if you go to if anybody out there goes to his page, you can actually check it out, because I'm actually looking at, I'm talking about the stuff that's actually on your page itself. It shows Twin River Boxing Match, and like there's 51 photos there. There's a picture, your first picture. Who is that? That announcer? It says CES, CBS Boxing. It's like I don't have my glasses on.
Yes. CES Boxing was they're the promoter for the fight Twin Rivers, and it was an amazing fight. It was really cool. What was it? The second round, Donnie knocked the guy out. Donnie.
Yes.
Yo, it was like the second round. You knocked that guy out in 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Yeah, it was crazy, man. But you mentioned the photographs of all the places, all the things I've been doing with Donnie. It's just, you know, we give people kind of an inside, behind the scenes view of like what's going on. How is Donnie training? You know, what's he doing at the gym? You know, and giving people just a putting a face behind the name.
Maybe you guys should do a documentary. Do you guys have that up on YouTube? Have you done that yet? Maybe that's what you
should do. Oh, yeah. Well, there were plans to have a documentary, but, you know, we're focused right now on just getting knockouts and fights and getting Donnie's record to, you know, at a point where we can really, you know, get a shot at the world title. You know, we want to try and get Donnie the best and get him in the best slot, the best spot available where he's going to be able to get that title.
Oh, cool. So these pitches, I was trying to figure out, it looks like it's a coach. I'm pulling up. It's at the Twin Rivers, and it's showing Donnie's in the corner, and this guy talking to him with a black Adidas shirt. What guy is this? He's not shirt, but it's a jacket. There's a guy.
Oh, yeah,
there's a couple
that's
guys.
Roland. That's Roland Estrada. He's in Donnie's corner.
Yep.
Okay, and there's another one. It says E unit. This guy, it's a back, and Donnie's got his hands up. So there's another one with his back. It says on his shirt, it says E unit.
Coach Sean Mannion.
Yeah. I'm not on a computer right now.
It's Sean Mannion. It's Sean Mannion.
Oh,
okay.
Sean Mannion. Yeah. The great Sean Mannion goes to the Dorchester Boxing Club. Was working with Donnie. He's in the corner.
Oh, and it does look like there's a camera guy videotaping it, because it'd be kind of cool, like, as he's going along, and it's like, you know, you capture more of Donnie, you know, besides him being in the boxing ring, is to show him everyday Donnie too. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I think that would be nice, because I think that's what people want to see. They want to know more than the boxer. They want to know the man behind the boxer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also, you know, you can click on the family and friends gallery, and you'll see a lot more photographs of Donnie with, some of his family members, a lot of his friends together, and that sort of thing. But, you know, Donnie is pretty much boxing. That's what Donnie does.
Yeah.
He's just going from the house, training, to, you know, he's out promoting, selling tickets. Boxing, going, you know, traveling to Spar. We're going to Rhode Island. We're going to, Lawrence or Fall River. You know, Donnie's just, that's all he's really doing. So
So when's their time to sleep? I mean, are you able to sleep at all, Donnie?
Yeah, I sleep at night.
So what do you? What is your diet like? What do you consume on a daily basis? Like, what's your breakfast, lunch, dinner? What do you eat all day long? Because I'm just picturing now. I'm a fan of The Rock, and for him to like do Hercules, where he's posting pictures of all his food and everything. I'm like, what do you eat? Because you are. I mean, your pictures yourself. You can see you're a big guy, and you're always working out. So you must have to consume a lot of food.
I really don't. Actually, it's like Ramadan right now also, so I've been practicing Ramadan, but, like, the spice is coming up, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I eat, like, smoothies and stuff. I eat healthy. I try to eat, like, James has been helping me with my diet because he eats all green and raw, you know, so that's how I've been eating, like, green and raw. I mean, I'll sneak some rice and beans in here and there, or some pasta and stuff. But I try to eat like raw. I had like pizza today, but other than that, I usually eat pretty good. I eat well.
Oh, okay.
Guys, and even like he's got like he's got a whole banana tree full of fruit on his counter. He's drinking smoothies, salads. Don eats well. Believe me, when he actually has brought me to eat several times, and I can't believe the appetite he's got. He eats like he's got two stomachs.
So what are you saying? He's like a cow? I mean, what is that? What do you mean he's got like two stomachs? What was that, James? Well, you know, I'm just like, hey, now. But, I mean, I can just imagine from working out, I know that when I get into working out, you know, I'm more hungry. I eat a lot more. So I know that, you know, there's training, like extensive training, especially for a fight coming up. You're going to work out more, so you're going to burn more, and you're going to be hungry more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was just wondering, like, you know, what his diet was, because a lot, you know, is he doing the Rocky thing, like tons of eggs or, you know, things like that? I
mean, no. Not at all. No raw eggs.
I just can't picture, I mean, I eat a lot of eggs, but they're cooked. I can't picture eating a raw egg like that. Do you remember he did that in the movies? He actually, Stallone actually ate raw eggs when he was hungry.
People do that now. People do that now.
And I don't know.
You know, because the protein, you know, weightlifters want a lot of protein too. When they're adding muscle and they're building, I think I haven't seen. You know, Donnie, you don't eat a lot of eggs. I mean, Donnie. Yeah. He eats eggs, but not, you know, I haven't seen him eat a ton of eggs. I think Don has a well-rounded diet. You know, from what I've seen, from you know, from times when we went out and, you know, grabbed a bite together, I think, you know, Don is eating real healthy. He's making smoothies. He's doing fruits, vegetables. He's got, you know, Donnie's got a well-rounded diet.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So how many hours do you work out every day? I mean, how many? I know, like, a fight, I hear fighters, they train out more, but how many hours do you work out on a daily basis?
Right now, minimum 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like gym work. Like, I'll like run and do some strength and conditioning in the morning, but like I'm in the gym boxing gym like a minimum of like 3 to 4 hours.
Because now it's like, well, it's the summertime, so I would assume that the kids are not in school. Is that correct?
Correct. They're in summer school, some of them.
Oh, okay. Because I figured if you were, you know, teaching, I don't know how teacher's schedule is, because now it's like I hear that teachers sometimes they get a different job during the summertime. But I figure you must work out more, you know, during the summer.
Yeah, I'm selfish. I don't deal with the kids during the summer because I have to focus on boxing. It's my only time to focus on boxing. Yeah, but I mean. I work a job, though. I work in the summer. You know, my uncle is a manager at a restaurant, so I work the door on the weekends. You know, they put a couple bucks in my pocket, pay a couple bills, you know. And that's about it, really. I mean, I live a normal life. I just chase my dreams still.
So is there anybody out there that you wanted to give some props to? I was, like, looking at my time. I think it said, like, 10, about maybe a quarter of 11, so I probably got about 10 minutes left. I mean, is there anybody you want to give some shout-outs to?
Yes. My mom. I love you, Mom. She's the best. My dad, my stepdad, my family, James, LJ, Danny, Big Six. You know, LCE, Dolo, I mean, all my sponsors, all my buddies at the ring, my dog, Lulu, you know, Kim, Pat, my dog right now, my brother, everybody, you know, everybody that loves me and supports me, I want to say thank you, and that's a shout out.
So once again, you know, before we, like, you know, I since the time, I told you it goes by so fast. Where is, once again, I think it's, you said this Saturday, when is the next fight, and where can get tickets for it?
The next fight is July 26th, which is next Saturday. Starts at 3 o'clock. I probably won't be on until, like, 6 or 7. You can get tickets at Everything Is Real Barbershop in Roxbury on Dudley Street. Everything Is Real Barbershop. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Barber Boys Club. You know, find them. It's an awesome barbershop, you know, and you can get tickets there. You can get tickets at Irie Restaurant. You can get tickets at the Ring Boxing Club in Brookline, 971 Commonwealth Ave. You can call the number on the flyer, on the poster. Check my Instagram again, at Donnie Palmer, DONNIEPLMR. Check the flyer, call the number, go to locations, pick up a couple tickets, and come watch the history.
You can email bignastyboxing@gmail.com.
Awesome. BigNastyBoxing@gmail.com. There you go.
Sweet. And, you know, if you have any more fights or anything, and it's like I could always get you on the show again, or if, you know, you're too busy and you have a promo or something I can read on the air, just let me know.
Yes. Of course. I will. I'll definitely give you a call or shoot you an email or a text. Definitely. And you can also find, like, postings of what I'm doing, you know, for the community and the neighborhood, not just boxing, on my website, DonniePalmer.com, because I'm really active in the community. I started a program called Three Rounds Boxing, and basically it's a program for autistic kids and kids with, you know, Down syndrome to be a part of, you know, that ring life, you know. I mean, everybody doesn't have to be a boxer, but everybody can love boxing and have their place and role in the gym. Like, you need water, you need guys to carry the water bucket, you need guys to keep the tape and the gauze, you need guys to keep the gym and the ring clean, you need guys, you know, and basically what I do, the point of the program is to have kids come in that have, you know, Down syndrome or a certain spectrum of autism come in and be a part of the gym, you know, they can have a job, you know, and feel a part, you know, because that's what everybody wants to be, is a part. Even these kids that have Down syndrome, I mean, they want to be a part too. Like, most of us, like, act like they're different, but they're really not different. You know, they're just a little bit, but not, you know, they're not different. You know, they want to, they have feelings too, like us, and they just want to, And my program is basically just to make them feel a part. You know, we take them on trips with us. We take them to the fights. They just hold the T-shirts. You know, they just have their job. They have their assignment. You know, and they love it. You know, and that's what Three Rounds is about. You know, it's an after school program. It's a before school program. It's just a great program that I'm trying to implement in a few other schools and other boxing gyms in different towns and different cities.
That's awesome. And you give back at the same time, too. I just see you doing really great things, too, not just with boxing, but because you have a heart of gold. I can see you doing so much more to help out so many people.
Thank you.
Shelly, thank you so much for having us on the show.
Yes,
well, thank
Shelly,
you,
thank
Dean.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. Thank you so, so much. You're awesome.
Well, thank
this
you.
Thank
you. Show.
It was a privilege.
Yeah, same here. It was an honor to have you on the show, and you too, James. And my guess is if there's something, if you're too busy, if you just send me a message or something, I can always read something on the air for you guys.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, and you guys have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, Shelly.
Good night.
All right. Hey, James. Bye, Donnie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. My show goes by really fast, and I'm very thankful for my guests, my listeners, and my supporters. You know, it's really great to, you know, like I said, I never knew my show would go this way, you know, captured history with, you know, great people that you know, I'm grateful with their presence. Well, not presence, but with their voice on the show. So I feel very lucky and very blessed to get them on the show. And thank you so much for the support, my listeners, supporters. And, you know, like I always say, if you have a dream, you're as good enough as anybody else, and you can just go for it. So I just want to end the show with the song called Unbreakable. It's by Cardiac and Laura Lee. So I shall be talking to you guys later on. And everyone, have a good night.
I'm unbreakable, can't break what's broken. Gonna shoot the sunroof's open. Let it shine on me, let
can't
it rain on down.
Broken.
I'm on my
yeah.
way, you hear that sound.
Success is to hold me. Your beautiful mama, you're everything I need.